This copyrighted podcast is presented by the authority of Let Me Put a List Together, LLC. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form without the express written consent of John D. Fiore.
Welcome to another list. It's Let Me Put a List Together, your favorite list building show. My name is Brian Mitchell. With me, as always, is my co-host Mark Grody. We're always excited about these lists because we're always talking about something we're passionate about, whether it's 80s, 90s, music, culture, TV. And this one's going to be another fun one we got going on today. So without further ado, Mark Grody, what is going on, brother?
Dude, it is good to hear your voice. We missed you last week. We're not able to get into the studio because somebody couldn't keep all their body parts in.
I know. So one of our listeners actually pointed out we should do a list called Top 10 Useless Body Parts, which for those of you that don't know, I know some of you followed on Facebook. Thank you so much for your well wishes. But yeah, I had my appendix removed last week, which is totally random. I went in, thought it was like some type of, I don't know, pulled a muscle or something. And it turns out they did a CT scan and I had to have it immediately removed.
You know, guys, so girls, get your appendix checked.
There's only one thing I want to say to you, Mark, and that's, I just want to scream, hello, right, God, it's been so long.
I think that's our sign to get this thing going, and our list this week, we're glad you're back, Mr.
Thank you,
Appendicitis.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
So now, let us get to the list at hand. Top 10 game-changing music videos, and here, without further ado, is our random list. It is Land of Confusion, Thriller, You Might Think, Hungry Like the Wolf, Rocket, Money for Nothing, Sledgehammer, Take on Me, Don't Come Round Here, and Cry. So that is the random list from which we will pull. We will alternate. And I have no idea, Mitchell, who goes first this week.
You actually go first this week because I went first last week, I believe. You know, give a little preface about videos in the 80s. I mean, a lot of artists, especially from England, that would never get radio play, started getting radio play because of their videos and MTV. So people would start hearing that stuff on MTV, and then it would translate to airplay. So that's why I think MTV videos, that was so important in the 80s, and these are the ones that really stick out. These are the ones that, you know, everybody got excited about. Once you first saw it, your mind was blown. Now you look back at it, it's like looking at Atari compared to, you know, Xbox.
Right.
Back then, dude, it was like, it was the real deal. So I'm going to let you go first. You can go ahead and pick your number 10.
All right. Number 10 on this list, I'm going to go with Cry by Godly and Cream. A very wistful sounding, deep, hurtful song. The changing from face to face. Definitely this stands out for sure, but I couldn't do it any better than the number 10 spot. But I know you were basically obsessed with this in our off the air conversation. That this is one that you just love.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, well, the thing was, is like, first of all, I love this song. I mean, it was like used in like a Miami Vice, you know, like sometimes they would kind of take a song and use it for their show.
Yeah.
And it would become like a hit. This was one of those. And Godly and Cream are actually also video producers. So they produced Raptor on Your Finger by The Police, Duran Duran, Yes, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Wang Chung. They produce all those great hits. And they're also from the band 10cc from the 70s, which is the group that's saying, I'm not in love, I'm not in love.
Oh, yes. No, I do.
In this video, they just took a bunch of faces because they thought this is a song that everybody could sing. They didn't want to be in the video, but they ended up being in the video, of course. And they're trying to figure out how to edit these faces together. You know, this is before the morphing technology. A lot of people think that this is morphing. It's actually not. The technical term is called like soft wipes, where you take part of somebody's face and then you take another part of somebody's face, you blend them together. This was like a huge video in 85, and I think it was like one of the top videos of that year. So these guys are like your quintessential artists and directors of many of the hits that came out in the 80s, and they should definitely be put on this list.
All right. Well, that will be our number 10 on the list. So, Mr. Mitchell, it is on to you, sir.
The next one I'm going to do is number 9, and that will be Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran. Duran Duran, they had a lot of like kind of game-changing videos, but the reason I like this one is it's a movie-style video, which were very new in 1982. Most of the videos in 1982, you're in a studio. It has like this, you know, extremely white background. It's very the 80s-esque. But what was cool about Duran Duran, they went to Sri Lanka and then had like this, you know, horny Indian a Jones video where this guy is like, you know, he's out there, he's running around, he found this you know, this attractive model, and they're like wrestling in the jungle. He's in search for this woman.
The dramatic, I don't know if you how closely you've watched it or how recently you've seen it, Mitchell, but the dramatic toppling of the table, the dinner table, yes, where he did twice, once at the beginning. I don't know, like it just seems so unnecessary. Yeah. Like a frustrated throw at the table, and then they do it at the end, but then you think, you make such a good point because it was so cinematic, and that was very, very dramatic, and they had, it was slow motion, but I don't know, it just caught that, me watching that again recently. Duran getting all mad.
or the I thought the another funny part was when they were like sitting there in the, you know, it's like Hungry Like the Wolf and it's getting all excited, da, 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 and then they find themselves in the jungle and they both make that face like at each other like, it's just with the
girl. There's a female that like starts,
or something. I have no idea. She's dressed like some sort of jungle animal. She's not really like a wolf, but you know, that was it.
Dangerous.
She is dangerous. Give it up for Sheila Ming, who was actually the Bermudan model that was running around in the chase scenes. So, as I said earlier, this video, they had zero radio play, Duran Duran, and then it went into heavy rotation because it was the best video that MTV had ever seen up until that point. So they started playing it like 4 times a day, and then of course people start to request it because they like the song on the radio, and that's how Duran Duran really blew up. I remember hearing this on the radio all the time because that end part where that lady's just like moaning or something at the end, it's like, I'm like, what is that? You know, it's like, turn that down. What is that? She's making sounds.
All of their songs, it seems like Duran Duran, their videos, they're all angst-ridden and have this mysterious sound. You mentioned Indiana Jones. Just watching it, I didn't read that deeply into it, but I was like, this does remind me of Indiana Jones going about and on this adventure until he takes the fast turn into the jungle, as you were discussing. Yeah. So it is. It's great. It's a great video and a great song.
And the nugget to take away, Andy Taylor, who is, you know, in the band, he actually contracted a stomach virus. Well, of course you would in Sri Lanka, but I guess he was, you know, they were accidentally drinking the water in the lagoon during the shoot, which is really not a good idea. But you know, malaria. Yeah, sure. So here it is. So here's what you need for a video. You need Simon Le Bon, you need table flipping, you need attractive African-American woman, and you need stomach virus. You have
good enough. Well, that gets us to number 8 then, and that would definitely be my pick. All right, number 8, I am going to go with Don't Come Around Here No More, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And what I have come to learn and to know, having reviewed this video in the last few hours, and I probably haven't seen it for 20 years, is that what this is one big acid trip centered on Alice in Wonderland and the Mad Hatter. And in the 80s, because I was a ute, I wasn't thinking in those terms, but having watched this thing, it's just, there had to have been, the mushrooms were definitely prominent in the video. There's no doubt about it. Tom Petty dressed as the Mad Hatter. A great video to go with a terrific song, to kind of a sad, melancholy, longing sounding song. But I like the video and the song.
If you check out some of the background on this song, it's actually written by Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics. I guess he had a fling with Stevie Nicks that I didn't know. And Stevie Nicks was actually dating Joe Walsh. Somehow Stewart kind of getting together romantically, and they went upstairs
Stewart,
and they were kind of like, you know, making out in the bed. And then I guess Joe Walsh like busted in the door, and Stevie Nicks was like, don't come around here no more. And that's how
we got a song.
Dave's like, that's a great lyric. Okay, I got an idea. I'm gonna dress
right there in the moment.
He's like, I'm gonna dress as a caterpillar playing a sitar in the video with Alice in Wonderland. Yes. That whole thing. I mean, they're eating like cups in this video. I mean, remember that? They're like eating the cups. They're and at the end,
dude,
there's
drugs.
Yeah, there's the big climax at the end of the video where Alice in Wonderland is a big cake and they're cutting her and having pieces of her. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Now that was cool. But that's what I'm saying is like there was no anything was possible. You could do anything you wanted and it was looking next level stuff. I mean, even if it was a little bit left to center. Yeah, I think Don't Come Around Here No More is definitely it should be on this list because it really does stand out. I think that's a safe number 8, right?
That was number 8, and you, sir, have the next selection, number 7.
All right, Money for Nothing, one of the first videos to use computer animation. Now, if you remember this video, it had the big guy who was all computer animated, and it had the other skinny guy. Both of these guys looked like they worked in some type of delivery service, because they're talking about delivering microwave ovens and installing kitchen stuff and, right. and all of that. So they're sitting there complaining about how their job sucks and how they should just be like the guys on MTV who basically get their money for nothing and chicks for free. So that is the whole basis of this. But the reason why the video is so cool is because it was the first time that was ever used. Now, Mark Knopfler, who was the lead singer of this group, was very anti-video. He didn't want to do this at all. But it was his girlfriend that actually convinced him. And because, you know, MTV was the thing, and to get your music on radio, you needed to have a badass video. So Money for Nothing really stands out with just all the cool effects. And that's why I have it at number 7.
Characters you're talking about, like the working men with the gruff faces and all of that. Mm-hmm. To me, they all look like Pluto from Popeye. They all look like badasses, man. They were kind of freaky.
You mean Pluto? You said Pluto?
Yeah. Did I say Pluto? Pluto's the wait a minute. Pluto's the dog, right? Yeah. Pluto's a dog, Pluto. He's a bad guy. People don't like him, and he beats up Popeye. And that's all you need to know. Yeah. But yes, yeah, they all look like that guy. And don't forget,
I'm on my MTV.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you had that, and that was Sting Ding-a-ling making an appearance. I actually don't know if his face was ever in the video.
His face was not in the video, Mark, but he was in the same studios as Dire Straits at the time, and they asked him to come in and sing that part.
That's amazing.
And he actually has a writing credit.
Yeah, that's why I said Sting Ding-a-ling. He did the thing at the beginning, so that made that song even more interesting, and that they blatantly used MTV as well. The badass guitar at the very beginning of the song, and it was kind of eye candy watching a video like this, just because of the, as you said, the computer animation and the uniqueness of it. And you mentioned the info about Mark Knopfler not wanting to do a video. That makes sense. They don't seem like a video type of band. Like they just didn't have, they just a little more simple than that, and they made this very complex video as it turned out. So I would say that is a sturdy and well-placed number 7 on our list. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to number 6. Okay. So I'm going to go with Take On Me.
Gosh, all right, that's so disrespectful, that low, dude. I am not in agreement with this. Please send all of your hate mail and hate messaging to Mark on his private pages.
Look, dude, this is number 6 on the 10 best ever, so it's not like I'm disrespecting it. There's just a lot of good ones ahead of it, but I think it's properly rated at number 6. Hey, look, I love sketching. I think it's a great sketchpad type of video. Hey, baby, want to see my sketchpad? That's kind of what the video is. Hey, look, I'm in a drawing. No, I'm real now. I went from being in a drawing to being real. Hey, if you flip through my little notebook here really fast, my sketchpad, you can see it like it's a cartoon.
Do you know how you get into the real world, though, Mark? You bang yourself against the wall.
Oh, yes.
Until you become alive. Bang. yourself.
Take On Me is and this song does go with the video. Something you could either feel it or you can't. Mm-hmm. And this song goes perfectly with it. So look, I liked it. I clearly not as much as you did though, Mitchell.
Yeah, I would definitely say, I mean, this was like when this video came on, you were glued. And of course they're in the cafe and she's like reading the magazine, and then all of a sudden she like jumps into the magazine or into the book, the sketch cartoon cartoon, whatever you want to call it, running around and almost gets killed. I like how they use like the mirror, and she's in front of the mirror, and then he steps out of the mirror, and he's
that sounds of, great.
He's part of the pencil picture, and then he comes back in. It's awesome, dude.
That description was just awesome. He steps in front of the mirror, he goes behind the mirror, he comes out of the, how could you not like that?
And people know what I'm talking about. He's in the mirror, he steps out, and then he's a pencil guy, then he comes back in.
It was just so mundane the way you were saying it. He goes in front of the mirror, he goes behind the mirror, he goes, oh, wow, you sold. Sold.
Game changer. Sold.
That is so good. Wait, so he goes behind the mirror?
And everybody likes awesome. To sing the high part too, right?
Yes, oh, yeah.
God. I can't sing that high, dude.
Take it on me. I'm right there. That's right. That's perfect for my range.
So what do we like about it? We like the mirror. We like that she's almost killed with a monkey wrench or something.
Oh, yeah, that's great. So, you know, sold like again.
Those are all the reasons why a pencil sketch live action combination is all the rage.
This is a game changer, man. All right. Well, Mr. Mitchell, have I talked you out of it yet?
No, it is an awesome video, and I guarantee that this should have been in the top three.
All right, so there you go. That is number six, Take on Me, and we will have number five coming up right after this.
All right, we're back with number five, and number five is going to be You Might Think by The Cars. Another one of the first ones to use a different type of computer graphics. Basically featured Rick Ocasek, who's lead singer of The Cars, and that model in the video. They're doing all these like weird little scenarios, like she's, you know, trying to put her lipstick on, and all of a sudden when she screws it up, you got Rick Ocasek coming out of the lipstick case. You got Rick Ocasek as King Kong on the Empire State Building. And all these different things. You got the band, they're sitting on like a bar of soap while she's taking a bath. Just really cool, interesting little effects that are going on. The reason why this is on this list is because this video has the distinction of being the first MTV Video Music Award for Video of the Year. And it was nominated for five more awards: Best Effects, Best Art Direction, Viewer's Choice, Best Concept Video, and Most Experimental Video. Plus, it's just a cool, fun song, you know? I mean, I this was very much a part of me growing up. This one was always on the radio in 84. Heartbeat City was a huge album, which had a lot of top 10 hits. But You Might Think was definitely one of those.
Yeah, they were very playful. The videos that they did were very playful. And You Might Think was top of the list, probably. You know, Magic probably could have been honorable. It might be an honorable mention on our list here today. But I'm pretty sure that the guys from Cars used the same babes that ZZ Top used. Like, they just, like, they all seem like they're central casting models. Yeah, like, the whole Rick Ocasek coming out in the lipstick, mm-hmm. that I don't know, that one, that part always just sticks with me since I was a kid, just how cool that was. And, oh, my God, can you imagine if you're in this model's room and she opens up her lipstick and your head pops out? I mean, there was some sort of fetishized thing going on in my head at that point. Rick Ocasek was just an interesting character in all of his videos. As he becomes King Kong and basically drops the model off of his palm, just the way King Kong would do it. So great video, and it has a well-earned place in the top five on our list.
And let's talk about Rick Ocasek, okay? Not quite a handsome man, but very cool guy, and he had what it took to pull that model Paulina. Well, I forgot her last name. He just seemed like a really cool guy, though. Very interesting guy. And I mean, he's a great songwriter.
Right.
I could see why she was digging.
Funny with him. I don't think, like, I don't remember his personality. His whole personality came out from his videos. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I, when I think of him, that's what I think of. I don't remember a damn thing he ever said, but his videos, like, that was him to me. That was his character. He's this cool, magical man who has very attractive women around him at all times.
I think also the Cars did a great job of transitioning from, you know, the late 70s to the video age. age. Like they
great
weren't,
point.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, because that first Cars album is like, it's like a greatest hits album. There's like hit after hit after hit on that album. And then just to move into the video age, say, hey, you know what? We're gonna keep going with this. We're gonna make some cool videos. We'll be experimental and artistic with our videos as well. It'll be just another part of our arsenal, basically.
So yeah, I agree. I think that the Cars decided to go with the flow as opposed to thinking they were above the fray and maybe not take themselves so seriously, because like I said, all those videos were playful, but they got something from it too. Mm-hmm. And they figured out a way how to extend their career and get to a lot of brand new ears. So all right, so that's the Cars at number 5. I have the number 4 pick, and I am going to go with Sledgehammer, Peter Gabriel, of course. And you get that really freaky close-up wobbly projector face of Peter Gabriel telling you the things that you could have, telling you could have a steam train if you would like, you can have an airplane if you would like. All you have to do is call me. So, yeah, Sledgehammer was definitely in your face. A lot of biology and science in the beginning of the video as well. So it brought a lot of, like, I don't know what any of it meant or what it was all about, but it was one of those, again, eye candy in that it's like, oh, cool. Oh, neat. Oh, wow. That's like a movie projector and interesting. And I see his eyes and, oh, that's cool. So it definitely was different and one that is very memorable. So I put that at number 4.
I mean, you had the claymation, you had pixelation, you had stop motion animation. It all brought the images to life. I remember the one where on his face, like two like sledgehammers come out of his face and like bang on his head or something. He had to stay under a sheet of glass for like 16 hours when filming that, like one frame at a time, to make that stop motion look kind of like what they used for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and
right.
Those different claymation things that they did. Peter Gabriel always took time with his videos, and they were always like different, from Games Without Frontiers to Shock the Monkey. They were always bizarre and interesting and cool. Big Time was another one from this album. Yeah, Peter Gabriel, he was always outside of the box, either with his music, when he was with Genesis, until he went solo. And that's what's so cool about Peter Gabriel, is that he wasn't going to just do your basic. He was always going to bring something different, whether it's to the video or to the song. So, all right, so let's do a recap of what we have so far. Number 10 is Cry by Gottlieb and Cream. Number 9 is Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran. Number 8, Don't Come Around Here No More, Tom Petty. Number 7, Money for Nothing, Dire Straits. Number 6, Take on Me by A-ha. Number 5, You Might Think by The Cars. And number 4, Sledgehammer. So, we are in the top 3, and Mark, this is my choice, and I am going to say number 3 is Land of Confusion by Genesis. This song by Genesis that actually came out in 1986, and this one really stood out because of the cool puppets that they used. These cool puppets were basically from a show called Splitting Image that was based in the UK, and they had caricature puppets of all like different people. They had Ronald Reagan, they had Nancy Reagan, they had, you know, Henry Kissinger, Jimmy Carter, all these different types of caricatured versions of these puppets. And it was basically a song kind of about the politics of the world at that time, with, you know, making sure that, you know, we don't move further into nuclear war. It was kind of like that kind of message. And when you make cool puppets of like Mussolini, Ayatollah Khomeini, and Mikhail Gorbachev, and Muammar Gaddafi, you got a winner there, Mark.
Yeah, the it's a winner, Bryce. I got to say, Phil Collins as a puppet, not pretty at all. It was not a good look for Phil. He probably should have opted out of that. That's not good at all. I thought the whole concept, like the puppets are cool, because it just reminded me of the Muppets, and I said it was Splitting Image. So it's fascinating whenever you see puppets, period. I think if you're a kid, if you're an adult, puppets are cool. The Ronald and Nancy Reagan dream sequences were kind of weird, man, where Ronald Reagan's like waking up in a literal pool of water. And,
yep.
And you know, I didn't know what it all meant. Again, this is junior high. I just remember thinking, yeah, like, they're just really trying to drive something home here. You know, I mean, you know, like, something's edgy about this. And, yeah, they're being real, man. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on in this video. I knew something real was happening.
Well, I thought it was interesting that they had, you know, Ronald Reagan was an actor, of course, before he became a governor and then president. And then he had this movie, Bedtime for Bonzo, with the chimpanzee or whatever. And it was funny because in this video, they had, of course, Nancy there. And then they had Bonzo. And then they had Ronald. And every time he would say, like, good night, dear. And he would kiss the chimpanzee instead you know, Nancy. Yeah. So
it's just so weird and fascinating and just this big amalgamation of things. But after having listened to the song and watching the video again, it's a badass song, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a pretty strong song.
And for Genesis, it's a pretty strong song.
For Genesis.
It's like a drive. Yeah. It's kind of like it was a driving kind of...
very dramatic and urgent. Like, there was something about it. So I like it. So, all right, man, we're getting up into it. Number three. We've got two left. So we are down to two videos. I'm going to say number two, Rocket by Herbie Hancock. And this was all sorts of interesting. The ultimate in I don't know what's going on here. But I like it. I like it when I see robot bottoms dancing about. You know, it's a complete, again, badass song to go along with it, the mechanical legs. Mm-hmm. And as you remember, Bri, robots were the shit in the 80s. And I don't even know if that's what those were, if they were robots or mechanical creatures or whatever, but that's when that was starting to gain ground, the concept of an all-knowing genius robot. That all started, at least in my lifetime, it seemed to be popular or most popular in the 80s. And that was, I think that was a big part of it, that feeling, the robotics. What was so unique too is this was an entire instrumental, like just an instrumental song without any lyrics, and that just completely adds to its mystery and its intrigue.
Now, this was a big, I mean, in the 80s, I mean, if you were doing a little breakdancing on the street corner, this is like one of the tunes that would be playing, you know, in middle America, of course, you know, because it was so cool. And, you know, I think the name of the album is Future Shock, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
You know, Herbie Hancock is a huge jazz performer, very famous. And then moving into this era, you know, with the cool synthesizers and stuff, that really made him next level. This music video, guess who produced this, Mark? Who produced this video? Your buddies from Cry, Gottlieb and Cream, remember?
Oh, yeah.
This was one of their first videos. And they had movable robots in here. Jim Whiting was a sculpture artist who had these movable sculptures. And so they built it around like a little, I guess, it looks like almost like a house, right? Or a kitchen or something.
Yeah.
Like different. It's like a little house. And all these different, you know, like the pants are moving in the closet. And then you have like, I don't know, like a bird like chirping outside the busted window.
It's amazing.
You got an arm just swinging, smacking some guy in the table into the table.
Yes. Again, I don't know what's going on here, but I like it.
I like it. Yeah.
This sounds better than Mirrors, man.
Yeah. And that's why it's number, you know, that's why it's up there with number two. So
yeah, it's got a guy hitting a guy in the face.
No. The arm, no, come on, get it right. The arm is at the table and it's swinging and smashing the guy.
Oh, okay.
Back of his head, his face into the table. Okay.
And that's why it's a game changer.
Because also one of the first pop songs to have scratching in it. Because a DJ named DST, he was the one that was doing the... scratches. Yeah. So, which I thought was cool. And then, of course, Herbie would sit there and talk over with the robotic voice. And the only time you saw him in the video was he was in the TV. He wasn't even. So they just basically videotaped him playing, put it on the TV, and then all the weirdness, you know, went on. A lot of podcast listeners did point out this one as one of the weird favorites, one of the game changers, because there's nothing like this ever.
So. Nothing.
All right. So that was number number two, Rocket. So are we at number one now?
We are, and you have the honors.
All right. Well, I'm pretty excited about this because this one definitely, I think, it needs to be as number one. And that is the video Thriller by Michael Jackson. Honestly, is this even a video? I mean, this is a mini movie. I mean, it's like
15 minutes long.
Yes. And not only that, but I mean, it had everything. I mean, it had John Landis, who directed The Blues Brothers. He was the director of this and also the director of American Werewolf in London. Jackson saw that movie and thought, man, who directed this? And he was like, I need that guy for my Thriller video. And that's how Landis and Jackson came together. He loved his effects that they used in American Werewolf in London. And so that's why you see at the beginning of the video where he's changing into a werewolf and they're at the movie theater. And then, of course, it goes into where they're in Los Angeles. They're leaving the movie theater and run into a whole bunch of people that are coming out of the ground, rising from the dead, with Vincent Price, you know, doing the cool spoken word rap. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And that's why it's number one, Mark, because it's not about mirrors, like jumping in and jumping out. I mean, it's about dead people coming alive in real shitty clothes and stinking, you know? And then what do you do? But what do you do when you see a bunch of dead people? You join them for a little, you know, trip the light fantastic. Let's do a dance routine in the middle of L.A.
Yes, yes.
In the middle of gangland. So
I don't remember the anticipation ever being higher for one video, mm-hmm. like because it was cinematic and like a mini movie, a short story, if you will. It just made it something totally and completely different, and one that you had to actually take the time to sit down and watch. It was one that was built up as if it was a movie. You're gonna see, you know, the Michael Jackson video. You had to see this spectacle and Vincent Price with the laughing and the red Michael Jackson suit and organized gangland dancing, basically. It kind of looked like
dead people organized. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say that the imagery of Michael Jackson as a werewolf was very effective. Mm-hmm. There's something about that that just stuck with you from this guy who, like, Michael Jackson then, like in the 80s, was mm-hmm. kind of like this untouchable pop hero, could do no wrong. And then all of a sudden you see him as a werewolf and it doesn't change your opinion of him. It's just like, it's just such a stark contrast to everything we've ever known about Michael Jackson. So it probably was too long, honestly. Like, it probably got a little, like, it's not something I could sit down and watch now, but like all of it, back then you could for a while, but then there's nobody at that age rewatching 15 minute videos.
Yeah, no, and not only that, but it was an event. It was like you saw it like a movie. I mean, and you probably watched it a couple times, and I'm sure people that were trying to master the dance moves to watch it more than that. But I mean, I thought it was cool just because of the effects. Like, people were actually like coming out of the ground and you could like hear the ripping of the grass and their hands coming out and coming out of those different tombs and sliding over the sarcophagus or whatever those things are called and, you know, crawling out of it. And, you know, they're panning on the different faces and one guy has all this like goo coming out of his mouth, like just dead insides. I mean, it had everything you would want in a music video. And if you lived through the Michael Jackson era, this is the real Michael Jackson era. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything that happened, like, as we moved on into the 2000s and he got whiter and whiter and he just was like, didn't look anything. I mean, this was a real Michael Jackson era right here.
I like that you said it has everything that you want in a video. What is it that people want in their video?
Everything.
So before this, everybody's like, I gotta have werewolves.
Yes, you gotta have werewolves. You gotta have dead people.
Yeah,
you gotta have.
Everybody wants that.
Everybody wants the jacket I'm wearing. Everybody wants that.
You know what I want today? Organized dancing of gang members and zombies. That's what I need in my video.
Yeah.
Finally, it's here.
I know. I want a girl named Ola Ray. What about Ola Ray? Whatever happened to her? I think she was trying to sue like Michael Jackson for the longest time because she got nothing from this video. She was she was the girl in the video.
And then she became Billie Jean.
And exactly. And not only that, but if I'm not mistaken, mistaken, they called Vincent Price to record this. And I think he did that thing in like one take, and they just paid him for the session. I don't think he got any type of performing credit, but he came in. They're like, hey, Vincent, can you read this in your spooky voice and do it? And he did it. So
he did it pro bono, you're saying?
No. He did it for just
the one-time payment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like he was some kid though. So like it's, but which I guess makes it even more surprising that he was kind of an old guy and he didn't get every penny he could have. But yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Not whatever. I got to stand up for the guy. You know. He's,
okay. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever, dude. Just go read it. Here, read this for me. We're only gonna make we're gonna make 30 million copies of these.
I'd give him a one-time payment. Come here. I'll one-time you.
Here's 500, and here's you go to Jack in the Box and get yourself something.
Yeah,
to eat, okay.
Yeah, old Vinny boy.
Here's 10. Yeah, Vinny. We'll see you later. Thank you. Yeah.
That's number one, consensus wise, at least on our collective list.
All right, so let's recap what we have for our top 10 list. And it's number 10, Cry by Gottlieb and Cream. Number 9, Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran. Number 8, Don't Come Around Here No More by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Number 7, Money for Nothing, Dire Straits. Number 6, Take on Me by A-ha. Number 5 is You Might Think by The Cars. Number 4, Sledgehammer. Number 3, Land of Confusion by Genesis. Number 2, Rocket. And number 1, Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Sounds like a gorgeous list. All right, now our individual lists, how we had it each individually when we did this. Brian, you want to go first? Or you want me to reveal mine?
No, you can go ahead and reveal yours.
Okay, here we go. Number 10, Cry by Gottlieb and Cream. Number 9, Don't Come Around Here No More. 8, Take on Me. 7, Sledgehammer. 6, Money for Nothing. 5, Rocket. 4, Hungry Like the Wolf. 3, You Might Think. 2, Land of Confusion. And I did have Thriller, where we had it on the collective list at number 1.
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, on my list, it's a little bit different. I had at number 10, Don't Come Around Here. Number 9, Hungry Like the Wolf. Number 8, Money for Nothing. Number 7, Land of Confusion. Number 6, You Might Think. Number 5, Sledgehammer. Number 4, Take on Me. Number 3, Cry. Number 2, Rocket. And number 1, of course, the great Thriller.
Yes, so we do have consensus when it comes to Thriller, Michael Jackson. We were discussing, too, some honorable mention, or at least artists, including Madonna, who was so prevalent in the 80s and had some... I don't know that her videos were necessarily game-changing, like the actual videos. They were very, very sexualized, which is different then as well.
I mean, you had like a Prayer, which was really a pretty wild video. You also had... her Borderline. You had Like a Virgin, where she's in Italy rolling around, on the gondola. So, yeah, I mean, definitely a cool video, but game changer as in using effects and different things like that. You know, I don't know. The same thing with Cyndi Lauper. She was very prevalent in the 80s. She had the video... Girls Just Want to Have Fun. That was kind of cool because it had Lou Albano from the wrestling of WWF back in those issues. Yeah. I had like him as the dad in all her videos. Time After Time is another great video by her. Great video, right, Mark? That's what makes it a great video.
Oh, absolutely. You know that, buddy.
Blondie?
Boy George. No, I'm serious, man. Okay. Boy George was very prevalent. I don't know that the video was a game changer, but
you
like Karma Chameleon.
It's Culture Club. He's the lead singer.
Yeah. Boy George and the Culture Club.
No. It's just Culture Club.
Oh, Culture Club.
Yeah, it's like you don't call Phil Collins and the Genesis.
Oh, I thought it was Boy George and the Culture Club.
No,
are you sure?
No. Yes, no, it's Culture Club.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Culture Club was so prevalent in the 80s, and they were, I don't know that any of the videos were necessarily game-changing, so I'm not fighting for Boy George to have been on the list, but when I think of the 80s and I think of videos, I do think of Boy George and Culture Club.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, reaching out to some of our fan top 10s, a lot of people left comments on this. We had Thriller by Michael Jackson, Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. Jim Moran said Cradle of Love by Billy Idol. Do you remember that one? Yeah.
Of course. Addicted, not bad.
Addicted to Love. Robert Palmer was Antonio's off Facebook. Brett, Land of Confusion, Blondie's Rapture, which we mentioned. Thomas on Facebook mentioned that. Let's see, another one. Oh, Mark Grody put Thompson Twins. Everything is always about the Thompson Twins.
I love the Thompson Twins, and I don't know why you hate them so much.
I don't hate the Thompson Twins.
I mean, they were in the 80s. Give them their place in the 80s, will you?
Yeah. Katrina thought that Duran Duran was the video kings of the 80s. They had, of course, Rio, Hungry Like the Wolf, New Moon on Monday. They were all like mini movies, she said. How about Call Me Al by Paul Simon and Chevy Chase? Now, that wasn't a game changer, but that was definitely, it was odd because I thought it was creative, right?
Yeah, it was the thing. I mean, it definitely was.
I don't think we had any talking heads in this, but the talking heads were always
that would have been good.
Yeah, talking heads, I mean, that's kind of sacrilege that the talking heads are not on that top 10. I mean, you had Burning Down the House, you had Road to Nowhere, you had Once in a Lifetime, you had Wildlife. I think they could have their own list, honestly.
I got to tell you, the more I think about it, too, going back to one of the listeners wrote, like, Billy Idol probably had a place on our list or very close to it. I mean, I don't know what song she mentioned, but I was thinking of that song, Eyes Without a Face, White Wedding, and they were all very distinctive videos with their own tone and emotions, and they took you on this very distinct trip. So, Billy Idol probably should have gotten more love from us.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard. I mean, like all these lists, when you have to put them down to, you know, an hour show and top 10 them and really try to pick out the ones that are really kind of stand out. And a lot of these were actually from lists of videos that were either video of the year they came out, or they were runner-ups. So that's the credibility issue, is that a lot of these videos almost won awards or won like Video of the Year awards. So that's how much they stood out. And that's why they were kind of randomly selected from the bozo pewter to do that. So.
Yes.
But yeah, another fun list, Mark. I mean, so I think we did the list justice, I hope.
I think we did. And we, as always, will look forward to finding out via social media what our listeners think. You can find us everywhere. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, wherever it is that you use social media, wherever it is you get your podcast, you can find Let Me Put a List Together.
And we can't wait to get annihilated on social media. So for Mark Grody, I'm Brian Mitchell. That's Let Me Put a List Together. Don't forget, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, stop this right now and go give us a 5-star rating. We want more people to learn about this show. All right, take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, this is the first time that they actually use computer animation in... Money for Nothing, this song...
And that's going to do it for us this week.
That's going to do it for us this week. Can't seem to get through shit.
Just fill in the other four or six or whatever.